listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas on a Wednesday. We got a full house, the pros who know. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Steve Fezzik, NBA and NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. We're on 200, actually more than 200 Fox Sports radio stations across this great nation. We start every show with the question, what is the Las Vegas lead? And today, an upset, I would say, baseball. Baseball in the lead. Big trade, Brad, Red Sox, Dodgers.
Yeah, so last night, the Red Sox over the MVP of the league just a couple years ago, Mookie Betts, gets traded to the LA Dodgers, RJ.
So how much of a down year would you, how would we quantify Mookie Betts' year last year? Is there a sense that he's trending down and it's going to keep going? Or how would we, what's our projection for Mookie Betts' next couple years?
I would project him very highly, RJ. He was the MVP 2 years ago. He was worth over 10 wins. Everyone talked about, hey, Mookie didn't have a good year. Well, he had a very good year. It just wasn't an MVP type year. He was worth just under 7 wins after replacement. That's ultra solid last year.
Makes sense. And how, what's his age?
He's in his 20s. He's young.
All right. So age isn't the issue. Had a surprisingly decent year last year. MVP the year before. Okay. Dodgers pick him up. What did the Dodgers give up?
Gave up an outfielder, Alex Verdugo. He's decent. He's a good starting player. He's worth about 3 wins.
Oh, Fez with all the numbers here. You got to love it. That's Steve Fezzik. We're straight out of Vegas talking Mookie Betts in the trade, Red Sox, Dodgers. David Price thrown in. Now, is this, at this point, is this a salary dump? I mean, does Price have any value, or this is a negative value with Price?
Price does have value, but he's being overpaid, RJ. He's worth about 3 wins, but he's getting paid over $30 million a year. So because of that, he is a liability net in terms of what they were paying him.
Yeah. So the terms of this deal are, and correct me if I'm wrong, Red Sox are still going to pay half of David Price's salary.
That's correct.
All right, Dodgers paying half. So this feels like a salary dump, effectively, right? Why give, I mean, if you're giving up, I mean, no one would debate Mookie Betts is much, much, much better than the outfielder the Dodgers gave up, right?
Yep.
So why are the Red Sox doing this? Brad, you got a theory.
Well, the theory that I have is it's a complete sell for the Red Sox. This is a team now building more towards the future than anything, and we see that reflected, RJ, in the odds. Right after the World Series was completed at the end of October, the Red Sox for this year, 2020, were 12-1 to win the World Series. Now, after not only this trade, but also the Red Sox losing their manager, Alex Cora, 42-1 to win the World Series, 12-1 to 42-1.
And the Red Sox season win number yesterday was sitting at 88 wins. RJ, it's down to 86.5 and dropping. And
well, so hold on. You're saying it went down only 1.5 wins?
Exactly. Not nearly enough. I love the Red Sox under 86.5. And my theory here is that what's happened is that the bettors are so distracted with what happened with the Super Bowl and now with baskets that they're not paying any attention to MLB. This has to drop further, in my opinion.
But, I mean, how could they not know it's the Las Vegas lead today? I mean, so perk up. So what you're saying, have you played it?
Yes. In fact, last night at 7 p.m., I get a text. I ignore it. My phone rings. I ignore it. My home phone rings. That's like
what exactly,
phone.
What were you doing?
I was live wagering college basketball.
All right, fair enough. I can deal with it.
So it's from Jared, one of my betting partners. He's actually from Boston, and he's literally screaming at me for not picking up the phone, not looking at the text. He says, open order. All the Red Sox under you can get at the current number. And
okay,
it was 88.
Let's do this. Let's make it an official bet right now from Steve Fezzik, right? Steve, you want this?
Absolutely. So, Boston. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Boston Red Sox under 86.5 wins best bets.
And that's available right now?
Yes, it is.
And what number would you, when do you start betting this?
You know, I play it all the way down to 85, RJ. I just think the market is completely asleep on this one.
Obviously, guys, try to get the best number you can if you decide to play this. But all the way down to 85, Fez says under Red Sox. A little impromptu best bet. We're straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. Okay, what are the Red Sox gaining here? So they're gaining the outfielder from the Dodgers. They're gaining not having to pay Mookie Betts' salary. And they're gaining not having to pay half of David Price's salary. That's what they've gained. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, and the reason that what was going on with Mookie Betts is it was clear that they were not going to be able to re-sign him. This was the last year that he was under contract, and they were fearful that they were going to lose him just for a draft pick.
But the theory is 1 year, if you're a contender with an elite player, is very valuable. In fact, people will often at the trading deadline trade for a guy for just the rest of the year. But this is, and we say this often, this is the Red Sox saying, telling us through their actions what they think. And they think they're not contenders this year. And I'm not a great baseball aficionado. It used to be my favorite sport as a kid. But I don't understand. How do you go from the World Series to not even being competitive to win it just a second season later? I mean, how would we explain this? I mean, I know losing the manager sounds good, but come on. That's
not
it.
Yeah, what happened last year, the Red Sox only won 84 games. You know, a big part of it.
Well, only 84. I mean, if they win a handful more, it's 90. And the right. So only 84 doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, but, you know, Chris Sale was just an absolutely dominant 2 years ago, and he was not good last year. Maybe the Red Sox know something that Sale isn't going to be good again this year. I'm not sure.
Well, then they would have traded him. Right? I mean, what we're saying is this. I agree with you. The Red Sox know something, but is it obvious in any way from the outside? Like if I said, make the case why the Red Sox before this trade were going to be not really competitive for a title.
I cannot make that case.
Yeah, the numbers said, as Brad said, it was 12-1, right? Yep. So after that, only winning 80 some games. Something's going on here.
And listening to the Boston guys today, even though there was rumors of this trade happening for the last week or so, they are still very, very angry with the Red Sox organization.
AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Moving on, next topic, more trades. Let's go NBA, potential trades, Lakers, talk is Kuzma. Fez, what's your take?
Yeah, you know, I looked at Kuzma's player efficiency ratings, and I can see why the Lakers would want to trade him. 15 is an average rating. Kuzma's rating this year is at 12, RJ, the 2 years before at 14. So we've had three straight years where Kuzma has been a below-average player for whatever reason. He just hasn't meshed well.
Hold on a second. Do you believe that Kuzma is a below-average NBA player? I know that if you read, I know if somehow you just read from a sheet of paper, it's going to say a number, and you're going to say that's below 15. Do you believe that?
No.
Okay, so why are you saying it?
I believe his potential, he should be better. And
I'm not asking about any of that. How good do you think he is?
I think he's a slightly above average player right now.
Okay, right now. What does right now mean? Is that today? Is that this season? What are you talking about?
This season.
Okay, because almost everyone, I think, would think he's better than that, right? And if I would ask you before you looked at these player efficiency numbers, what would you have said?
I would have said that he's clearly a better than average player.
So to some degree, these numbers, I mean, maybe we could see about the Lakers, you know, maybe write a letter to them and have the Lakers try to trade Kuzma for Looney, Golden State, right? Because I don't know if you heard about his real plus minus.
Yes, I was making the case of Looney just being an all-star in the playoffs last year. I don't think he made the roster, RJ.
How's he doing this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't followed much of Golden State.
Yeah, yeah. So not all-star. Not lined up for the all-star team, though.
No.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I'll tell you this. The fact the Lakers have allowed this to become public is a bad sign. Because think about it. What's the possibilities here? One is they don't trade him. But he knows he was on the block. He knows that LeBron gave the nod. Because there's no way they're going to put him on the block if LeBron doesn't give the nod. Yeah, go ahead. Good riddance. So if they do trade him, who's to say how much value they get back? Who's to say the way that player integrate? I mean, it's creating massive uncertainty. So, Fez, if I had to, and please don't reference the efficiency ratings. If I had to, or if I asked you to rank the players on the Lakers, give me the top three or four.
Yeah, I think, well, Anthony Davis and LeBron are 1-2. And, you know, I got to make Kuzma number three, RJ.
Okay, so think about this. Lakers are right at the top as favorites to win the NBA title, correct?
Yep, them and the Clippers.
All right, so you have, and Milwaukee's right there, right?
Yeah.
So if you have one of the three favorites literally trying to trade their third best player, how isn't this a bigger problem? Because if they don't trade them, they wanted to. And if they do, it's like the season started over for this guy in that he has to integrate with a new team. I mean, it's going to be the start of the playoffs before the team's fully efficient in theory, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a concern.
And last year, remember what happened to the Lakers when they put the word out to all the players, the younger players, that we don't want you guys anymore. The Lakers completely went into the garbage can in terms of their results. So you can see how that can negatively impact a player when he's basically being told he's not wanted.
And it brings up a point of all those quote-unquote good Lakers drafts, not going to be anyone left. Right,
right.
And it's funny because some players are doing well other places. All right, last thing NBA here. I'll let Dealer's Choice, Faz. Give me one other trade, one other NBA story.
Yeah, so there's a four-team trade, but the key players here, Houston and Atlanta. Houston is going ultimate small ball, RJ. They go ahead and jettison Capella. He goes to Atlanta. That's the big man. Was playing for Houston. They pick up Robert Covington from Minnesota. So Houston now in their starting lineup, they don't have one guy taller than 6'5". The Houston Rockets are going to be the ultimate small ball team.
Wow, that's fascinating because one of the things about the original lineup of death that Golden State innovated was they were too small to play extended minutes. That's why they would use him in surgical strikes, the high leverage spots. But if your starters are all relatively that small, man, and this is a team that seemed, the Rockets seemed to get a little tired come playoff time last year. Harden certainly did, right? When CP3 was out and he had that amazing run of scoring, it makes you really wonder, is this going to be a fatigue issue with the Rockets if somehow, some way they do make, let's say, the Western Finals?
And I don't think the, I agree. I don't think they have to worry about it because the bottom line, the West is so strong this year, and Houston's
so you're
not
saying
as
don't
good.
Don't worry about it. I mean, they're obviously making a trade, trying to salvage the season, right?
Right. I think what they're trying to do is they're saying, you know what? If we go conventional, we're just not going to be competitive. So they're kind of throwing a Hail Mary saying, we're just going to...
Yeah, I agree. But my point is, if somehow the pass is completed, you're still in trouble. Because if the pass is completed, you're going to be tired come later in the playoffs. But again,
listen,
obviously... The front office for Houston is hyper intelligent. So they've contemplated this stuff. From my perspective, I'm not sure about it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Let's talk Super Bowl, but not so much the game itself, but the aftermath. And boy, oh boy, any casual fan would say, the Super Bowl loser hangover. And I was interested because our researcher at pregame.com, McKenzie, he actually has a deep connection with the San Francisco team and Shanahan's coaching staff. And you should have seen him around the office on Monday. It was like he was, he had his head down at various points. He was rubbing his eyes where you didn't know if he was crying. And I figure, hey, I'm kind of sinister. Let's put him on researching the Super Bowl hangover so he could just uncover all this horrible data that would make him feel worse. Not for any reason, just, you know, general schadenfreude. Fez, you relate to that, don't you?
Very much so.
He surprised us. Check this out. We heard about the Super Bowl loser hangover. It's just not true anymore. The last 11 Super Bowl losers, 9 of those teams made the playoffs. 9 of 11. I don't know if we've looked at this. Let's look at this actually for the D block, McKenzie. How many of the last 11 years of the Super Bowl winners made the playoffs? I wonder, Fez, if there's anything from the prior year more predictive over the last 11 years about making the playoffs. Like if we said 13 wins or, you know, let's say leading the league in wins. You think that that team the next year made the playoffs more than 9 out of 11 times?
I think the only thing more predictive is having a New England
Patriot
helmet.
So did you not want to answer the question there?
I don't think there's anything more predictive.
Yeah, I wonder. And again, like if I said specifically back to the question, and I'll say it slow, is do you think the number of wins, the team that led the league in wins the prior year, how predictive would that be to make the Super Bowl, or I'm sorry, make the playoffs the next year?
Not as predictive as a 9-2, I believe.
I don't think so either. So we'll check. Actually, we'll check on the Super Bowl winner. But man, now when they do poorly in these years, it is early. So we can put this baby in our pocket. Super Bowl losers, the first game of the year next year, 4-15 against the spread. 4 winners, 15 losers against the spread. If you look at them in quarters of the season, first 4 games, second 4 games, etc., they win a little bit over 8 games on average per 16 in the first quarter of the season. So that's just a way of saying they're a little bit above average. And then they get better the second quarter of the season, better the third quarter, and better the final quarter, the last 4 games. In fact, they effectively are winning almost 10 out of 16 games. So almost double-digit wins the last quarter of the season. So, yeah, playoff really hasn't been too kind to the Super Bowl loser. If you go back to the start of the century or go back before that, but boy, last 11 years, 9 times Super Bowl loser made the playoffs. Thank God for McKenzie's mental well-being. 49ers look decent. Fez, other than that history, what's your optimism about the 49ers?
I'm not that optimistic, and here's why, RJ. I think this was a gut punch loss. They had it. They were up 10 with 6.5 minutes to go, and how often, I think this is very rare. It's the end of the Super Bowl, and the coach is being called out completely for his play calling. The quarterback is being called out for not being the right quarterback for the team. They're even talking about, do they need to replace him? I think there's a lot of extra negativity for this Super Bowl loser compared to other Super Bowl losers.
Okay, now the counter argument, and I think it's valid also, would be, hey, this team's about as loaded as any team can be. I mean, if you look at it other than the quarterback, and we know this is a quarterback's league, the NFL, but other than a quarterback, couldn't we make the case the 49ers have the best roster in the NFL?
Yes.
I mean, who's even in the conversation? They're right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I know the Ravens had all those guys go to the Pro Bowl, but that was just because they had such a big win-loss record. I mean, that 49er roster is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. So you're saying if you're balancing the best roster in football with the psychology of losing the game, with the history now telling us the psychology of losing the Super Bowl doesn't affect all the teams anymore, but you're saying because they had the lead. So let's think back to Atlanta. So Atlanta certainly, correct me if I'm wrong, that next year after they gave up that Super Bowl lead, Atlanta, that was when they lost the Eagles, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so they made the playoffs. Again, I guess almost all of them have.
And they won that game against the Rams in the first round and easily could have beaten the Eagles in that divisional game.
Yeah, remember now, that was that's the famous story where the whole Eagles franchise, the histories was rewritten when Atlanta couldn't score from inside the 10 less than 2 minutes. And Fez, you always talk about it. They were favored, the Falcons, at that point.
Exactly right. When they had the ball on the 7-yard line, they win the game about 60% of the time.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Last segment here, always at least one best bet. Brad has his, listen up, he didn't tell me for the tease. He has his small conference college basketball game of the year for free. No phone numbers, for free. Wrapping up Jimmy G, I think there's two possibilities here. Because you could obviously make the case he played pretty well till late. And then during the clutch time, he wasn't clutch. You could say, look at the whole game. Don't look at the small sample size of a couple drives. Look at the season. Okay, but then the question becomes, does Joe Montana get credit for a perfect Super Bowl record? Does Bradshaw, Aikman, does Jim Kelly get the blame for an offer? And if we're going to say, those games were just one games out of hundreds in their career or four games out of hundreds, then the entire premise of our sports conversation, our sports hierarchy is out the window. It's like if Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley's on the same page because, hey, Jordan got lucky or Jordan played well, but it was random in those six finals. It changes everything. So I think unless we want to do that, you've got to look at Jimmy G and say, hey, small sample size, but you know, this is how legends are made. And maybe there is some luck to it, but man, it's not all luck. Because if it were all luck, then Brady's nothing. What's Brady? What's Montana? What's Bradshaw? And I couldn't stand a world where we felt that, let me tell you. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. First time ever. Oh, man, this could go great. This is like Bob Dylan drunk playing a song he hasn't rehearsed. It could be awesome. It could be horrible. Steve Fezzik, please do your first radio read nationally ever.
AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Oh, Jonas. Where's Jonas? Jonas! I mean, Brad, his voice was quivering. Did you hear it at the beginning? Like the fourth word?
He was nervous. That's okay.
What kind of grade do you give him?
I mean, C minus.
Generous. All right, Brad Powers, you got your small college game of the year, college basketball.
Yeah, and we're going to take Mercer. That's Mercer plus 12 tonight. Mercer is my small conference college basketball game of the year. And here's the reason why, RJ. This time of year in February, I'm looking for fundamental changes. Sometimes there's injuries, suspensions, or in Mercer's case, they have a first-year coach. They started the season horrifically. Mercer was sitting there at 6-11 and then used 12 different starting lineups. They have finally found the right starting lineup, and Mercer, since starting 6-11, has won and covered six straight games, including beating the best team in the conference, East Tennessee State, last Wednesday. This team is not being priced accordingly because of a fundamental change. First-year coach with a starting lineup that's finally working. College basketball, small conference, game of the year, Mercer plus 12.
Mercer plus 12. I love it. Now, let me ask you a question. Ken Pom, for example, power ratings, or Sagarin, they take the entire season into perspective. What would the line in this game be if we just looked at the whole season? Has there been an adjustment for Mercer's improvement and not enough, or no adjustment?
There has been an adjustment, but it's only been like a point or so, RJ.
All right. Best bet there. It's a game of the year for free from Brad. All right, Brad, you got about 90 seconds. College football, you got all the college knowledge. College football, signing day, what's the headlines?
Two headlines for me. Let's start with one arrow pointing up. That would be Clemson, believe it or not. Clemson, RJ, has never signed a top five recruiting class before. Today, Clemson signed their best class ever, number three in the country.
Wow, so this is a team that literally won a title. What was that first title? What was the Clemson average recruiting classes for the four classes that participated in that title team?
Number 16.
And now they're number three, and Dabo's Dabo. Second lead, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah, and this is on the downside. USC, by far their worst class in the history of USC football. The number 54 class, RJ, USC, to put in perspective, has never signed a class outside the top 20. Today, USC, the number 54 recruiting class.
Brad Powers coming on strong. Big pick on Mercer. Great takes on the signing day. Steve Fezzik, thank you.